All right, here we go. All right, so we're in that that period of time of Sukkot. It's a special reading, and it has a phrase in it that I've done studies on before, but this week, really, I got a lot out of it. I mean, it's been a while since I really looked into this one phrase, and it's always been a little bit of confusion when people read it. And in fact, there's whole volumes written on it. But every time you read a commentary, you can read something different about it for the most part. And what phrase is that? It comes at the very end of today's portion. So let's read Exodus 34:26 and see what that phrase is. 34:26 says this: "You are to bring the choicest first fruits from your of your land to the house of Adonai your God." Easy so far. "You must not boil a kid in its mother's milk." You know, I've read a lot of different commentaries about this. Boil a kid in its mother's milk. And there are a lot of different things that happen there. What are you saying? You know what it means. Good. You can compare with what I have to say then. All right. Because quite frankly, when we read through it, it seems to be out of place. It's talking about other things, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it says, "And don't boil a kid in its mother's milk." And there are two other times that it's done the same thing, almost verbatim. Exodus 23:19 and Deuteronomy 14:21 say the same words: "Don't boil a kid in its mother's milk." The context around it, the words around them before and after seem a little different, but maybe not so much. After today, we might think that it's almost the same. In fact, I think it is the same. Because we know, in order to find out the true meaning of something, we have to look at the context around it. We have to look at the sentences just before, the paragraphs just before. The book, we have to take it all together. So that sentence, "You must not boil a kid in its mother's milk," in Judaism is called the kid law. The kid law. Of course, it's not because Adonai is not telling us not to boil our kid in milk. We know that. Hey, you didn't have to tell us that. Well, at least we're not pagans. You didn't have to tell us that. But in Judaism, they took the word kid and expanded it to mean any juvenile animal, goats, cows, anything, all young animals. And then they took that and applied it to their kashrut laws, the food laws, how they prepare it, how they eat. And they've said, based on that, they said, meat and dairy can't be mingled. They can't be cooked together. They can't be stored together. They can't be eaten together. And we'll talk about that in a little while, in a moment or three. So over the many centuries, as I said, many commentaries, and they try to work it out the meaning. Now, some Jewish commentaries, the Christian commentaries, there just seems to be a lot of different explanations for it. And I'm going to go over the major ones today. Now, the first two I want to bring up, they seem to take the words right out of context. They just rip it right out of context, and they say, you know, it's just this one thing. So let's take a look now. And what I want to say is, we know that people want to explain everything. Everyone wants an explanation, even to Scripture. And they want to use current science to explain Scripture. A lot of people do this. I guess they feel that if they understand it, they understand God. And God really only understands the science that we have today. They all feel this way, right? They, you know, It's based on the science. We're dealing with science. We understand it. Therefore, this must be why God did it. But you know, when we look at things in a science way, what happens? Science advances. Science changes. And then all of a sudden, those of us who explained Adonai based on the science get left behind. And then we start looking foolish. We start looking silly. Because we have to know Adonai is not constrained by the sciences. He's above all that. And even if he's not, even if we look at it, the science, like I said before, the science that we know today is not the same as the science that we're going to know tomorrow. We know this. Look at what's going on with the virus that we're going through. The science that they knew 2 years ago is so different than the science they knew today. It's not that they were wrong. They just didn't know. So they don't know. So we can't put God in that box of science. Now, in the 17th century, Torah commentary stated that a calf could not be boiled in its mother's milk because the milk of the mother came from the blood that went to the mother's breasts and then became distilled to become milk. That was the science. And then the same scientist said, well, it's the blood of the mother that becomes the menstrual blood, and that changes into the flesh of the fetus. That was the science back then. So therefore, the milk, the flesh, and the blood are all basically the same thing. And by us cooking them or eating it together, we're merging things just like Adonai does. And we should not try to be just like Adonai. So that was their explanation of why you can't cook a calf in its mother's milk. And for the science at the time, it made great sense to them. We look back and go, oi! But that was their science. Okay. And they said eating is just another form of cooking. So you couldn't cook and you couldn't eat them together, milk and meat. That was what they said. And today, of course, we hear how silly that sounds. None of us believe that mother's milk is just the blood that's been distilled, or the fetus just is the menstrual blood being coagulated into flesh. That just doesn't make sense to us. And that's why we have to keep in mind, when we try to apply science, his ways are just above our ways. We just can't apply what we know and compare it to what he knows. That's why in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, we have what we know very well. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways." It's a declaration of Adonai. "For as the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Since his ways are higher than ours, we shouldn't be trying to explain based on science. They said, don't duplicate creation. And that's what they were trying to not do and trying to explain it by science. It just sounds silly to us. Yay, science. Well, most of the time you can say yay, science. But not when you're trying to constrict God that way. All right. Another reason to avoid cooking meat and dairy together was to avoid cruelty to animals. How cruel it is to take the baby from its mother and not just taking it, not just killing the poor little calf, but then taking something from the mother and sacrificing it by boiling it in her own milk. How cruel is that? It disrespects motherhood, is what the commentaries say. And they apply the same thing to animals and people. You don't be cruel to a mother. It doesn't matter if the mother is an animal or a person. hey, I can understand this one. This one I can actually understand at least, but I'm not sure that's the answer. I don't think that's the answer why we don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. So we'll put that one aside for now. So the next thing they have is avoiding idolatry. And this is the big one. This is the big one that you'll hear a lot of in commentaries, to avoid idolatry. And they'll say back then that there were fertility rites to other gods, that by boiling the kid in the mother's milk, it would make a person more fertile. Obviously, we don't want to go to other gods. They also say in a separate one that you boil the kid in its mother's milk and then sprinkle the milk over the fields and over the trees, and it would create a bumper crop. Again, the whole idea of being fertile, the whole idea of going to another god. We can see why we wouldn't want to do these things. But I don't really think, you know, the intent behind it is good. Don't go to other gods. We can all agree on that. But I don't think that's the reason that Adonai put it there either. He says that in other places, but that's not it. Now, the next way to read it is just to apply the simple meaning to it, a simple reading. It says what it says. Don't boil a calf in a mother's milk. It's a, right? Remember I'd spoken a while back about a choke. Just a thing that we may not understand it, but God says it, so we do it. That's all it is. God said it, that settles it. And that's easy to follow today, right? How many of us have cows or calves that we can go out and harvest and then boil in its mother's milk? In the United States, that's fairly easy for most people not to follow. Most of the world, that's easy to follow. There are some parts that's a little tougher for them to follow it. Some parts they just still go out and do it. But the odds of us boiling a calf in its mother's milk are so small. But I'm going to pull that one aside too. I don't think that's why God said it that way. And the next way, to read the sentence is that it could be a saying back then that just lost its meaning over the years. Right? We know these kind of sayings. We hear them still today, where we say things and we don't know why we say them. So an example of this would be someone's a flash in the pan. I mean, we've all heard this before. We know it means that someone is, you know, a big deal and then all of a sudden is not again. But where did it come from? Well, it came from the time that they used gunpowder in musket rifles, and where the gunpowder would flash or explode would be the pan. It was the gun was the pan. So it was a flash in the pan. The flash would all of a sudden be really bright and then gone. So people still use it, but they don't know why they use it. They just use it. So it's just an example. So we see that happen. So perhaps the phrase, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk, is that kind of an example. It's a phrase that Moses knew at the time. Maybe it was his catchphrase, sort of like dynamite. He went around saying, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk all the time. I mean, he did do it three times in Scripture. But the meaning lost, the phrase lost its meaning over the number of years. Now, this explanation has an advantage of actually keeping the verse in its context, we're going to see, in the context of Scripture. So there are commentaries that say that the saying was an idiom, of the day, a figure of speech. That people were not to mix old things with new things. That's what it meant back then. In this case, don't take the old things of Torah and mix it with new things of the world, of man's understanding. Don't mix the two. Don't mix the milk and the calf. Don't mix the Torah and the world. Keeps it in context. There are times when people will do this as a way to explain or understand Torah. People all the time take old, the Torah, and they want to put it together so that they can try to understand Torah better, so that they can explain why God is doing things. And they mix it with the current philosophy of the day, the current understanding of the day. And we have to recognize that when we take what is good, the Torah, with what is worldly, and combine them, that is not acceptable to Adonai. An example of that clearly today is the oral law. In Judaism, the oral law is, it started out as Torah, an explanation of Torah, because, you know, you can't always understand Torah. I mean, when it speaks of an animal, then maybe that animal's not in existence today anymore. And then they just kept expanding on it and expanding on it and expanding on it. And they're taking what they think with what Torah says and mixing this old and new. And that is not acceptable to Adonai. Now, this mixture of old and new is called illicit mixtures. And it can be seen in the verses around the ones that say, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. So let's go back to the verses in today's portion and take a look at a bit of the context of the verses before them. Exodus 34, 25 and 26 says this, you are not to offer the blood of my sacrifice with chametz, nor should the sacrifice of the Passover festival remain until morning. You are to bring the choicest first fruits of your land to the house of Adonai your God. You must not boil a kid in its mother's milk. All these instructions, and then all of a sudden, dynamite! What do you mean? Why is it attached here? The earlier verses of 26, the verses of Exodus 26, the other place that it's used, read almost exactly the same. So I'm not going to bring them out and read them today, but know that they say almost exactly the same. Don't mix sacrifice blood with hummus. Don't mix it with a rising agent, which of course symbolizes sin, which is easy to see why we shouldn't want to do this. And then it says, there's a commandment that says that don't let the Passover sacrifice remain until morning. And the purpose of that was so that it didn't get mixed with any new foods, with new sacrifices. It was meant to stand on its own to glorify Adonai. Boil a young goat in its mother's milk. You will surely set aside a tenth of your yield of your seed that comes from the field year by year. Now, when you read it through that way, that's one thing. But if you look in your scriptures, most of the time, verse 21 ends the section, and then there's a whole new header. And then there's the next section, next verse, 22. So this title heading separates these two ideas. And I want to say, remember, title headings were not placed there by Moses. Just like the verse numbers and the chapters were not placed there by Moses. When he gave it, it all ran together. So for today, let's think of these as one idea. Verse 21 comes after a lengthy discussion of clean and unclean foods for the Israelites. Then the end of what people consider the kashrut laws comes the verse we're concentrating on today. Comes the kid in its mother's milk, the kid law. And we can see the logic now of the kid law being attached to the kashrut laws. Why they did that. But maybe this kid law was really meant to be a connector between verse 21 and verse 22. Because 21, kashrut laws, don't boil a kid in its mother's milk. 22 speaks of putting aside, keeping separate, the tithes of the field. Kashrut laws, separate, don't eat things. To the point of even saying you can give an animal that dies on its own to someone outside the gate. You can sell it, you just can't use it yourself. Keep it separate for yourself. You are not to do the same as everybody else does. We see the principle of separation and the requirement of Adonai to separate the ways that we do things, the ways that we cook, and the ways that we eat. And this, of course, this idea of separation would not be a new concept for the Israelites. They were told the same kind of instructions of separation in Deuteronomy 22. So Deuteronomy 22, 9 through 12 says this. You are not to plant your vineyard with two kinds of seeds, or else the whole harvest will be forfeited, both the seed you plant and the produce of the vineyard. You are not to plow with an ox and a donkey together. You are not to wear a woven mixture, wool and linen together. You are to make for yourself twisted threads on the four corners of your garment in which you cover yourself. So we see this whole idea of being separate. Separate your seeds. Separate the types of materials that are being used. Separate the ox and the donkey. But then all of a sudden, what are we talking about tzitzit for? Why is that there? Because you would think in Scripture there'd be more of a unity kind of message. Isn't that what God's all about? Unity and love. Why shouldn't linen and wool love each other? Why shouldn't the ox and the donkey love on each other and plow together as friends? And what does it have to do with tzitzit? Well, the tzitzit was to remember, right? There are 613 laws, 613 knots, each one representing one of the laws, so that we remember to live out His way. We're not to combine the seed. We're not to combine the linen and the wool. We're not to combine the ox and the donkey. We're not to mix the seed. And here's the tzitzit to remind you of all this separate. Just like the kid and its milk, separate. As believers, we're called to the same principle. To be separate for Adonai through Messiah. We're encouraged multiple times to be separate from the world. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, says this in his second letter to Corinth. He says this in 6:14 of 2 Corinthians. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Sort of like the ox and the donkey. Unequally yoked. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For with partnership is there, for what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What harmony does Messiah have with Belial? Or what part does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Don't be unequally yoked. Don't mix. Don't be joined. Now, this doesn't mean don't be near them. Because if we're not near them, how could we witness? How can we witness to them? We have to be among them. We just don't have to be like them. Don't be like them. Don't mix yourself with their ways and your ways. Because if we even mix a little bit of the world into what we're doing, we become more like the world. And let's face it, our flesh is the world within us. We fight it constantly. But our flesh pulls us to sin. No one says, oh, my flesh is causing me to be more holy. It doesn't happen. So if you let in a little bit of yeast, it'll rise the whole lump. We need to be that different. Don't, you know, you have to be in their surrounding, but you don't have to be them, basically is what it's saying. Because what we allow into us is what's going to be sown out of us. Galatians 6, verse 7, starting there, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows in the Ruach will reap from the Ruach eternal life. The one who sows in the Spirit will reap from the Spirit of eternal life. Now you may believe you're not really mocking Adonai when you take on things of the world. But when you sow from taking on into the world, what you're sowing is going to have some of the world in it then. No matter how hard you try, if you take on the world, you're going to be sowing out the world. Garbage in, garbage out. We've heard that about computers. It's true about us as well. Garbage in, garbage out. We're told, be careful of what we sow. And the way we're careful about what we sow is what we take in. We're careful about what we take in by keeping ourselves separate from the world. Not separated, separate from the world. What's that mean? We don't boil our kid in its mother's milk. We maintain separateness. We're not to mix the world with the holy. And remember, you are holy. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you that you've made us a holy nation, separate from the world, to do things for you that are separate from what the world would do. Adonai, by the Ruach HaKodesh, help us to walk out your word. Help us to be separate while still among the world so that we can talk to the world, so that we can witness to the world, so that we can change the world. Just as we prayed over our young ones, help them to be influencers and not influenced. Ruach HaKodesh, help us to influence the world and not be influenced by the world. Help us to maintain that separateness. Help us to keep from boiling the kid in its mother's milk. We thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, that you are the one who teaches us. You are the one who gives us abilities above what we think we can do. We think the world has this hook in us. Well, Ruach HaKodesh, help to open our eyes so that we can see that you are greater than the world and greater than anything that they may throw at us, so that we may have that holiness, that separateness that you desire in us. We thank you, Ruach HaKodesh, that you are our counselor and our strength. We just ask that we would speak it out to the world as we go out towards them. And we all say, amen and amen.